Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 65, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Grace and truth shall mark the way, where the Lord his own will lead, if his word they still obey, and his testimonies heed. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 65.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, and thereof Matthew 25, beginning with verse 1 through 13. But first we read the 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew chapter 25, the first 13 verses. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we may be gathered in this afternoon hour before thy countenance once again. When thou dost separate us for a few moments from all the cares of this world and of this life, and when we may gather Sabbath by Sabbath in thy house of prayer, under the institutions which thou hast ordained and preserved for us and for our children even to this very moment, or that they may be precious to each and every one of us, that it may become not only a form and a custom, but that we may be given to yearn for waters from thy fountain. Oh, that thou may remember each and every one of us, and then in a special way, when we are gathered in this afternoon hour with these young friends, who have each of them expressed their desire, that they may join themselves unto thy people, which is our responsibility, each and every one here below. But then it is not the way of so many, but thou dost give it in the way of thy providence and also by desire. Oh, may it be in uprightness and in truth in the heart of each and every one of them. Thou sayest that the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Oh, that they may be given to desire to know that secret of the Lord, that the fear of thy name may live, may dwell, may burn in their hearts day by day. Oh, that they may be given to say, Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee.
And then it shall be known not only by their confession, but it shall be known also by their walk and their talk. Oh, that thou may look upon us then in this hour, when it has been a long time that they have been looking forward unto this hour. And thou hast brought them unto it, but wilt thou give them what is necessary also to answer those most solemn questions that will be put before them, to which they must answer before thy face and before the congregation, an answer which they will be held accountable for, and not only by us as members of this flock, but by thee on that great day of days. O Lord, who is able to feel the solemnity thereof? For thou sayest, better not to vow than to vow and not to pay. Oh, that thou may be then round about them in this hour. Give them a cry in their heart that thou wouldst make it true within. And that thou may bring each and every one of us that have stood in that place in the years gone by, maybe, to consider how that it is in our own heart and life. For thou knowest that we cannot live up to that which we have promised. Then we can only desire and ask to be kept by thee, and to be granted that new birth by thee. Oh, that thou may remember each and every one of us. For we travel quickly unto thy judgment seat, and we know not the day nor the hour thereof. But any moment, then it is possible for us to come to the last moment of our life. And then we have to appear before thee to give an account of our life and all our deeds, whether they be good or whether they be evil. Oh, then when we are not found clothed with the righteousness of thy only begotten Son, when then he has never become precious and necessary and suitable in our eyes, when we have never sought him, when we have never cried after him, then we shall be judged by thee, and thou shalt be offended in us. Then we shall have the form of godliness, but miss the power thereof. O Lord, that thou may remember each and every one of us, young and old. We are gathered about thy word of truth in this afternoon. Thou knowest also thy children where that they are. Oh, then so often they do look back in their life. To times that they desire to bring again, but they are not able. Lord, that thou may remember them in thy mercy. And could it please thee to revive thy own work in the midst of the years, in wrath to remember mercy. And because we depart from the days without number and know not how, as a lost sheep to return unto thy fold again. But thou sayest that thou art that great shepherd, and thou who art the first art also the last, and thou wilt bring thy people once again, with weeping and with supplications who have left their first love. Oh, that thou may grant it in the hearts of thy children, and give that thy word may have free course in the midst of us as a congregation. Thou dost increase the numbers thereof, but wilt thou also increase the number of thy true church. O Lord, that we may not miss what we cannot miss, as we live and as we each and every one must die and appear before thee. Look upon young and old the needs and cares of this life, which are many. Because sin that has brought consequences and that must be suffered by each and every one. O Lord, then we must know greater or lesser of all that we have done. O that thou wouldst open our eyes, and that thou may help in all afflictions. Wilt thou bring to agree with thee in everything, that we may receive that blessed place to say it is the Lord. And let him do what seemeth good in his sight. and that we may be given sometimes to taste a little honey on the end of the rod, and that thou wouldst guide in that way, in that narrow way that leadeth unto life, because we are those that do stray away from that way. And if thou wilt not keep us, then we shall finally go lost. Lord, that thou may remember young and old, our children, our youth, keep watch over them and protect them from much sin in this world, that thou may convert them in the days of their youth, that they may give their young bones unto thee, and that they may not wait until the grasshopper has become a burden, before that their eyes are turned heavenward, that thou may look upon all the afflicted and the sick, her that is in the hospital, her also that is in the nursing home, that thou may remember them in their afflictions and in the climbing of their years. And when death is nigh, O Lord, then we read in thy word that he hears the needy when they cry and saves their souls when death draws nigh. Oh, that thou may help her, for thou knowest each and every one of her days. Supply also for her husband and all those that care for them in that nursing home. Lord, that thou may remember each and every one. Be with the parents of these young people, those that may be here and those also that are not able to be here, near and far away also grandparents. Lord, that thou may give a humble hearts before thee, a broken hearts and contrite spirits, when they may be given to behold something of thy goodness, and that thou may receive all the honor and all the glory. Lord, that thou may help us also in this hour. Strengthen us for the labors of our hands. Wilt thou give that thy word may freely be brought, that thy spirit may bring it further than the ear, that our hearts may be pricked, even as it was in the days of old. For thou knowest that message that thou hast given us to bring in this afternoon, and thou knowest the reason thereof. O Lord, thou knowest here or there one for whom that is necessary. Oh, could it be many, that thou wouldst use it for the conversion of sinners, that thou wouldst use it for the gathering of thy church, and that thou wouldst do what we are not able to do. Be with us then in this hour. Wilt thou forgive and take away all of our many sins? Remember, O Lord, our nation, and also our sister nation in a special way in these weeks, in these months. Thou knowest the elections that are taking place. Oh, thou knowest also the fearfulness of our hearts. Lord, that thou may do what man is not able to do. For thou hast the heart of all men in thy hands, and thou art able to bring us back again from that way that we have strayed so far from thee and from thy holy law. Oh, be with all that are in authority over us. Grant unto them a wisdom from above, and the fear of thy name in truth, and a holy awe and reverence for the true and the living God and his word and his holy day, that we may be brought back as a nation and as a people to bow our knees before thee. For happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Be with us then in this hour. Bless us undeservedly. Forgive thou all of our many, many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 428, stanzas 3 and 5. O Lord, how shall a youth preserve his way? At every turn by vanity surrounded, in truth, if he thy statutes will obey, If on thy word his attitudes are founded, thou whom I've sought, let me never stray from thy commandments, lest I be confounded. 3 and 5 of Psalter 428, and the last collection today is for our school.
Thank you.
beloved congregation, for 3 years, the Lord Jesus walked on this earth and instructed the Jewish nation, his own people. But the time came and that the Lord would also give his life for his church and depart out of this world unto his Father. And that discourse that was read to you in this hour, that is now one of the last discourses and that the Lord Jesus has given to his church while he was with them here below. And then he has spoken unto them about how that he has desired them to behave when he had departed from them, and also that they were to look for him after he had departed to come again upon the clouds for the second time. Our life, that is a preparation. It is a preparation for standing at the judgment seat of God. Are we, congregation, preparing in our life? How much of the week that has gone by, children, young people, fathers, mothers, how much of the week that has gone by has gone into preparations for the things of this life? And how much of this weekend, we would say, how much of our heart has gone out to prepare for that day that we must depart out of this life? Are we also looking? Are we looking for that day when Christ will return the second time upon the clouds of heaven? The Lord Jesus, in this discourse, he does not speak unto the world in general. No, but he speaks unto his own visible church. It is to the professing church. And then the Lord makes distinctions within that church. And he gives warnings unto that church. We wish, with the help of the Lord, to consider something of this with you in this hour, out of Matthew 25, the last part of the 8th verse. Matthew 25, verse 8, the last part only, these words: our lamps are gone out. So far the words of our text. The Virgin's lamps. And first we wish to consider burning lamps. And second, we wish to consider lamps gone out. Our lamps are gone out. The Virgin's lamps. First, burning lamps. And second, lamps gone out. What an awful moment do these words of our text, congregation, portray. It is a moment of realization. It is the moment of realizing something that is so awful. It is a new realization. Something that had not come into the mind of these persons before. Christ, he speaks here about those whose lamps have gone out. Do we know what that is? We have lights. Those are lamps, children. And you will know also what it is for the lights sometimes, and that those lamps, they go out. And then it is one thing if there is other light from another source. But what do we read about the time that these lamps have gone out? We read here that it is midnight. Thus, it is black. Thus, it is dark. Darkness that is an awful thing. We know so little about what darkness is. Because most of the time around us, then there is at least a little bit of light. But it is good for us when we would know a little something of what darkness is. It is good for us if we will know a little something what that pitch black darkness is. Why? Because that darkness that is spoken of in the Holy Word of God. And we can read that there were 3 days in Egypt where it was so dark and that the people, they could not move from their places. A darkness, we read, that could be felt. So it was in the very, very beginning. Because then we read that there was darkness over the face of the deep. What is, children, the very first thing that the Lord has created in those 6 days? The very first thing that the Lord has created that was light. Light. Is that not a wonder? Why? Because what a great difference there is between darkness and light. Because we read in God's Word that hell, that is now compared unto darkness, that is an outer darkness, we read. Then when we may know just a little bit in this world what that darkness is, and what it means to sit in its fearfulness, in its uncertainty, in its dreadfulness, then we have just a little bit, just a little taste of that which the Lord is describing to us in His Word, of what that awful pitch shall one day be. An outer darkness. But then on the other hand, then we read of heaven itself, and of that place we read just the opposite, because it is there that we read that there is no need of the sun. And why? Because the Lord God giveth them light. Because it is a place where we read there is no night there. And so then there is light always. O children, think much of what the Lord says in His Word about darkness and light, because you also are traveling every day to an eternal home. A place from which we will never come again. Our lamps are gone out. And when is it? Well, that is here said at midnight, when it is dark, and when it is so pitch black. You say, is that so bad? Because when those lamps, they have gone out, well, then we will trim those lamps. We will make those lamps to burn again. And so we can read it, they have done. But when they have tried to trim those lamps, then they were unsuccessful. And they were not able to make that light to burn anymore. And so they have stood there in that darkness, in their helplessness. In their helplessness to make any light from their own side. Our lamps have gone out. Oh, that was at that midnight hour in that darkness, wherein they felt something, wherein they experienced something of their great helplessness. But not that is not all. Because we can read that was a very, very special hour. Because we read that there was a cry made, that it was in that very hour, and that cry was made, that the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Thus it was a very special hour. That was an hour which was looked forward unto by those virgins. Oh, that was an hour that was awaited. That was an hour that was an hour of great expectation. That was an hour that was never going to return again. And now it is in that very, very hour, and in the blackness of the night, that cry, that awful cry, that is made by these virgins, our lamps have gone out. They are lamps that had been burning. Thus, what does Christ speak of? He speaks of young people. He speaks about lamps of profession. Profession. The Lord Jesus, he says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. Outside of him, there is nothing but darkness. That is the way that we have been born. We have been born outside of him. We have been born in a covenant that is broken. And there is actually in that covenant no light. Do you ever feel it? There is no light. There is, congregation, no hope in that covenant. Oh, man, he wants to try to do it in his own strength. Man, he is so rebellious against that second covenant. But that is because he has not yet experienced that in that first covenant there is no hope, there is no light. And what does man do? He compasses himself about with sparks. They are the sparks of his own kindling, that he may make for himself a little light. But it is impossible, because we have joined in that covenant the devil himself, and that kingdom of the devil that is called the power of darkness, and the works of that devil, they are called the works of darkness. Do you ever feel how that you are in that power of darkness? Is there ever a cry from those that are living in that darkness and that are not able to deliver themselves out of that darkness? Because Peter, he speaks about those who are called. They are called out of darkness, that is, the darkness of nature, and they are called into His marvelous light. And indeed, then a man begins to see by that light. Or he begins to see because his eyes are opened. And it is that light of life that has entered into his eyes that he may begin to behold. He may begin to see the truth and that he may behold the reality. He may see God. He may see his holiness. He may see his righteousness. He may behold his holy law. He may behold that judgment day. He may see himself. He may begin to see who he is in the light of that holy law. Oh, what a light. What a light is beginning to shine by him into the heart, into the life, in the walk of that people. And then there comes a day. There comes a day for that people when they may feel something of their own darkness by that light. That is a paradox. When they may cry out from under that darkness, that the Lord is giving unto them something of that light of Him who does say, I am the light of the world. Oh, do we know something? Do we know the smallest part of what it is for that light to shine in our life? Because that is a moment. And that first moment that a man has seen something of that light, and that it has begun to shine in the darkness, in the hopelessness of his heart, that is a moment that he will never forget. Oh, that is a moment that light of the world, he for the first time becomes precious to his soul. That is a moment that he begins to see him. That cross that is opened up unto him just a little bit. And that he says he is white and he is ruddy. And that he is the chiefest among 10,000. Yea, that he is altogether lovely. Then they feel something already of the beginning of that deliverance from that darkness. When just a little ray of that light may shine in their heart, in their life. That is not to be forgotten. Ask the people. Go from one to the next, and you will ask them, and then they will tell you, each one coming to that moment, when in all their despair, the Lord, He has shown them just a little bit of light upon His only begotten Son. But now Christ, He does not only say, I am the light of the world. No, but He also says, ye. He says, ye are the light of the world. To whom does he say that? He says that unto his own disciples. He says that unto his own church. He says that unto his own people. How is that? That he is the light of the world. But that he also says, ye are the light of the world. Well, children, there are two lights, right? There is the sun, but then there is also the light of the moon. And that moon does not have its own light. But that light of the moon that is shining the light of the sun. Thus the moon that is reflecting the sun's light upon the earth. Sometimes that is very bright, isn't it? So that even in the darkness of the night, then you may go out and outside and you say, well, it is so very, very bright. And that moon that is then providing that light. And now so it is. So it is that that church, they are now reflecting that light of Christ. That he says not only, I am the light of the world, but that he also says, ye are the light of the world. Christ, he is no more on the earth. How then is the glory of the Lord revealed unto men in the world? Well, that is through his church. Therefore, he says to his church that they are as a city that is set on an hill. And that city that is set on an hill that cannot be hid. And that men do not light a candle and put that under a bushel, but they put that on a candlestick, that it may give light unto all that are in the house. So he says, let your light shine before men, and that they may see your good works, and that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. Thus a profession in the midst of this world. What a significant thing that such a profession is. As that church is living in the midst of this world, in the midst of a wicked and a perverse generation. Because John says, we know that all the world that lieth in wickedness, and the world that is lying in darkness, they are lying in the darkness of death. They are lying in the darkness of unbelief. They are lying in the darkness of atheism. And so the Lord has given, as it were, his own reflection, restoring his image unto his people, and reflecting his own light in the midst of this world. No, that is not the sun, but it is as the moon, so that there may be light. Light here and there in the midst of this world, among the darkness of this world. Think about Noah. The Lord said, thee only have I found righteous in this generation. Then he was a light. He was a light to shine in the fear of God amidst that wicked people. Think about Job. He was also a light. We read that he feared God, that he eschewed evil. Are there such lights in our midst? Lights in the midst of this world that may be seen, and they may reflect something of that fear of God and that eschewing of evil? Naomi was such a light when she was in Moab. There, a Ruth who served the gods of Moab. She saw that light. She saw that light amidst all her own afflictions and amidst the afflictions of her mother-in-law. That light drew her. That light ever draw you, young people, children? May you ever see that light? That you say, that is now a people of whom my heart is jealous. That thief that was crucified next to Christ, he was converted in the last hours of his life. But what a light was he. A light to thousands and thousands of people over the ages of the world. A light of the work of that only begotten Son of God. A light of the work of the Holy Spirit. We indeed justly, we receive the due rewards of our deeds. This man has done nothing amiss. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Oh, how many people in the midst of this world have not seen something of that light of Christ, even in the life of that man. But now there is more, because when the Lord Jesus is portraying this in this parable, then he shows these virgins, and then he shows them as walking by these lamps. Thus they are carrying these lamps, and they need these lamps in order to walk, in order to see, in order to continue, in order to go forward. And now there is a church that needs that light, that needs that light of him who says, I am the light of the world. Why do they need that light? They need that light because of sin, because of continuing sin, because they have to say with the apostle, O wretched man that I am. And now it is in the continuation of that sin, which they had not expected in the youth of that life, in that continuation of sin, that they are so often brought into darkness. But then the Lord is coming by times to shine again, to shine as that light that is come into the world. And when they may see again something of that light to shine, then they may see again what grace is. They see again what free and sovereign grace is. And then they may go forward again in that light. Or do you know something of the need of that people, that they may see that light each and every day? It is because of that law that is in their members, and that does bring them time and again into so much darkness. But now Christ, he is speaking here about that visible church. He speaks here about an outward profession, because he speaks about five wise virgins and about five foolish virgins. Then he says that they are all walking by the light of their lamps. But he makes now distinctions in that visible church. He says they are not all the same. He says they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. And that is for our warning. We see that now in our second thought. Lamps that are gone out. Our lamps are gone out. Who says that? That is now those five foolish virgins. What a cry. But an awful cry at midnight, when these five virgins are crying, our lamps are gone out. And then the Lord Jesus says that it is these that come in a moment to an awful, awful realization. Thus he speaks about a profession that does not last. He speaks about a profession that does not endure unto the end. And this realization that is coming in the very last day, thus supporting a person through all his life, that light, but in the very last day, that is, we would say, when that cry that is heard, Then there is that resurrection from the dead and those lamps are trimmed. Then it is in that moment that these five foolish virgins, they come to this awful realization. He says there was a light also that one time burned so brightly. It burned so brightly in the midst of this world. No one was able to tell the difference between the one or the other. But he says it is a profession that is without foundation. It is a profession that has nothing to ground itself upon. It is a profession that does not stand upon that love of God that is put into the heart. Or that is a profession that does not experience that true sorrow for sin. That sorrowing after God, after a godly sort, we read, fearful. Fearful. The congregation, we must not only be afraid, but we must learn. We must receive instruction because the Lord Jesus, He is giving to us the marks. The marks of those five foolish virgins. And what is that mark? He says they took no oil in their vessels with their lamps. Thus he says that they were looking only for the present time. They were looking never for the future, and that they had consideration for an outward profession, but they did not look to the truth of it. Oil that is in the vessels, that is something that is hidden. And now those five foolish virgins, they did not think that what was hidden was so necessary. They thought only that part which was visible was necessary. But for the rest, well, this they could do without. Thus it is like Bunyan's characters. We read that never entered in by that wicked gate, but they came tumbling over the wall. And when they are asked, then they said, well, in is in, and we are in as well as you. Those five wise virgins, they were very concerned with that which was hidden, because they knew that that is exactly where the truth of the matter really lies. And thus, those virgins, they are often found searching their own hearts. Why? Because of fear. Because of fear of that hypocrisy which they feel to be within. That is a people that our fathers, they have said, they often carried their lamps upon their backs. That means that it could be seen by others, but they so often could not see that light within themselves. Our lamps are gone out. Oh, that is ringing. That is ringing in the ears of that people. That even this very moment, when they do hear those words of those five foolish virgins, then their hearts, they are trembling. And with those 11 disciples, they are saying, oh Lord, is it I? Why? That is a people who know what it means to walk in darkness. They know what that darkness is. Why? Because they know what that light is. And they have to complain so often about that darkness in their own life. Oh, Job, he says, oh, that I were as in days past, when the candle of the Lord shone upon my head, when by the light of the Lord then I walked through the darkness, what is now the fear? The fear of that true church, that they are going one day to stand before that judgment seat of God. Oh, that they will arise from their graves, and that they will be yet as those five foolish virgins crying out in that midnight hour, "Our lamps are gone out." And now it is by these fears that that people, they are making their calling and election sure, as the apostle says. Or they are like Christian Bunyan says, who is on his way and he is checking. He is always checking again for that roll that is in his bosom. Oh, what is now that testimony that the Lord has given to me in my own life? That is congregation, not a mark that is given by us as a man, no. But this is now the mark that Christ is giving in this parable unto his church. That is the concern of that church, that they may have oil in their vessels with their lamps, and took no oil in their vessels. Oh, that was now those foolish virgins. They have congregation despised that hidden oil. They thought they were wiser. They were above those fears. That is a people that is so often making light of the doubts and of the fears that are living in the hearts, the tender hearts of that true church of God, that do not need themselves to see and to feel the evidences of the truth of that work in their own heart. Or they are like that foolish builder. He is long time sitting enjoying his house that can be seen by everyone. And he is looking down upon that man, that wise builder. He says, "What do you in that pit?" Always in the pit. But that man, he is digging it. He is digging because it is down deep there that there is a rock. There is down deep there that there is a foundation. And so these foolish virgins, oh, they have their profession. They have their profession that is shining among men. And all those wise virgins, they are still trying to find that oil. And they have gone to the merchants. And they are trying to buy that oil. And no oil in their vessels. That is a people who are able to take congregation such large steps. That is a people that are able to take so often so much for granted. They do not prepare for the cloudy day, because today that is sunny. And they say tomorrow that will be as this day, and it will be much more abundant. But oh, just ask those that have now received message of a serious disease. Then it is so different. That sunny day and that cloudy day. Or maybe that people, and they appear to be so very, very sincere. But do you know what they miss? Well, they have never stood before the majesty of God. They have never seen and felt something of that justice of God. They have never been brought before that holiness of that law of God. And so as sincere as they may seem to be, they are so sincerely, sincerely wrong. Because deep inside they believe that the Lord is going to look through his fingers at their sin, and that he is only going to pass it by. Our lamps have gone out. Solomon, he says, the wise man foreseeth the evil, and he hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Our lamps are gone out. When at midnight, when that trumpet is sounding, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him, O congregation. How will it be for us when we are standing there on that last day, when we have risen from the dead, and when we are standing before that judgment seat of God, and Christ, he is appearing upon the clouds of heaven, and when every eye that will see him, no, that is not imminent. We do not believe that that is going to happen immediately yet. Why? Because there is still yet something that we are waiting for. That is that great tribulation. But that is soon coming. If we would deny that we see the footsteps of the Lord, then our eyes, they are so very, very closed. Oh, do not scoff at it, because Peter, he says that in the last days there will come scoffers who will scoff. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. But he says they are ignorant. And not only are they ignorant, but they are willfully ignorant. Willfully ignorant that 1,000 days, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 days. 1,000 days, that is as one. Our lamps are gone out. Will that now be our cry at that great and majestic coming of that light of the world? Our lamps are gone out. When the sun ceases from her shining, our lamps have gone out. In that day that the moon no longer gives her light, our lamps are gone out. When in that day that the powers of heaven shall be shaken, our lamps are gone out. When the Lord is clothing, we read, the heavens with blackness and with darkness. Oh, there will be lamps. They have shined so brightly in the midst of this time that are going out in the day that time does cease. Those that have been circumcised, those that have been baptized, that will say, our lamps have gone out. Those that have stood here and done confession of faith, that are going to say in that day, our lamps are gone out. Those that have sat around that holy supper of the Lord, our lamps gone out. There will be teachers there. But every day in the school, They have told the lessons to their children. They will say, our lamps have gone out. There will be elders. There will be deacons who have taught in catechism class, who have done house visitation, who have warned, who have spoken of the ways of the Lord, who will say, our lamps have gone out. There will be ministers who have preached the word of God, maybe to hundreds, to thousands of people, who will say in that awful day, our lamps have gone out. O congregation, it is such a serious warning that is from the Lord Himself. Not now to take our profession for granted. Or are we not altogether too careless? Are we not like those men of Laish? It says they were as the Zidonians. They were quiet and secure. None did make them afraid. But then the enemy came. And then they were destroyed in a moment. Oh, children, how many of you will say in that day, Father, Mother, give me of your oil, because my lamp is gone out. Parents, will we now say that to our children? When we see them entering in, because of that truth that the Lord has given to them in their heart, in their life, and we who have instructed them from their youth, from their childhood, warned them, kept them, and then for ourselves to say in that awful day, my child, give me of your oil, because my lamp that is gone out. And then they shall say, not so, not so. Then they shall be in perfect agreement with the will of the Lord in the destruction of their own beloved ones. Not so. But go ye unto them that sell and buy for yourselves, but it will be too late. Oh, what does Christ say? He says, we have need of oil. We have need of oil in our vessels. And not only so, but he says that there is a day that we may get that oil, that we may buy that oil. And he says there is another day wherein it will be too late to get that oil in our vessels. Then we shall seek it, but we shall not be able, O congregation, in that day to find it. Today, today, he says, if ye will hear his voice, pardon not your hearts. Amen. Let us sing 384, 1, 2, 4, and 5. O Lord, my inmost heart and thought, thy searching eye doth see. Where'er I rest, where'er I go, my ways are known to thee. 1, 2, 4 and 5 of Psalter 384. Thank you. I now ask those who wish to make confession of faith to arise and to answer the following questions. First, do you acknowledge the doctrine of our church, which you have learned, heard, and confessed, to be the true and complete doctrine of salvation, conforming with the sacred scriptures? Second, do you promise, by the grace of God, to continue steadfastly in the profession of this doctrine and to live and die in accordance therewith? Third, do you promise at all times to conduct yourselves conformably to this doctrine, faithfully, honorably, and beyond reproach, and to adorn your confession and with good works? Fourth, do you promise and that you will submit to admonition, correction, and church discipline in the event which God forbid that you may become delinquent either in doctrine or in life? What is your answer, Ashley Janelle Busicum? Tyrone Andrew Busicum, Marianne Johanna Brun, Emmeline Geraldine Copilar, Clive William Thomas Kreft, Carrie Ann Margaret Nordegraff, Gert Willem van Hagenbos, Heidi Hendrikje van Hagenbos. Friends, we read here in this chapter that then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And today you may be now as these 10 virgins that took their lamps. Because when you were very young, then you were baptized. But now you may take over that promise of your parents yourselves to make this confession before the church and before the face of the Lord. That is, that you also, with the rest of the church, you do take your lamp. And that is now so good to see. That is to the great gladness of your parents, your grandparents, and all that love you. That is to the great gladness also of us as a consistory. And we hope that indeed you may be a light in this world. That you may be a light in your conversation. That you may be a light in your walk. Oh, be careful. Be careful how that you act in this world. What you do say in this world. The places that you go. The way that you dress. Oh, be careful. Think always of that lamp that you have now taken up in this hour. Because we know the world mocks. The world mocks at the truth. And then it is possible that we also can make the world to mock. That they say that that is now the people that go to that church who do say that they have the truth. And that is now the way that they walk in this world. Oh, that you may be given to be a truly a light in this world. Today, in a sense, that lamp that is lit now in a visible way. But now for that question, how will it be in the last day? Will that lamp that is now lit in this day, will that now also be shining in that last day? Because a lamp of profession that is shining now, that is not guaranteed to be shining then. And certainly it is necessary, because we do not read of those who entered in without a lamp, but we do read of those who did not enter in, who indeed had a shining lamp. And now you have learned much in the months that have gone by, and today you may make this profession. But now the question is, do you have will? That is now our last question for you. We have asked you many questions, and you have given your answer, and you have not to give us an answer to this question. But you may now take this question home with you when you leave this place, and now try to give an answer, an honest answer. Do I now have oil in my vessel? Do you young people have a secret life? Do you have a secret place? Do you have needs? Do you have needs that can only be filled by the Lord, that no man is able to fill for you? Oh, we hope that you may seek this life. Do not take anything for granted. Do not presume, because then you will certainly be disappointed, but seek to be enlightened by Him who says, I am the light of the world, and seek it earnestly. Solomon, he says, drowsiness shall clothe the man with rags, but he who endures to the end, he shall be saved. And we cannot endure to the end except that we have oil in our vessels. Oh, may the Lord give you to ponder this question when you leave this place, and that that question may never leave you to the last day of your life. The Lord bless you. Each and every one, congregation, receive these members in your midst. What is now the responsibility of members? We have spoken of it as a confession class. We become a member of the church. That means that we have a care for one another. That means our whole life that is now before one another. That means that we are responsible also for one another. That we are approaching one another. That we are not letting one another go on our own way, because we have evil hearts, all of us. But that we are ready to stop each other and to say, what have we now promised on that day? Oh, how we do those things makes all the difference. That needs to come out of the love of our hearts. But we have heard those questions again, and then we may say, what is now our life? That we are honest with one another about how that we are going through this world, how that we are living in this world, and also that confession that maybe we make in this world. And that we say, well, the Lord has begun in my life. Well, what is now, what are now the evidences of this? Oh, can we also be honest with one another for the sake of the souls of one another? And that all together, when you and I are standing soon at that judgment seat of Christ, that the Lord would forbid that there would be a single one, young or old, that may cry that awful, awful cry, that my lamp that is gone out. We ask the congregation to sing, to stand and sing. 421, stanza 3, on behalf of these young people. 421, stanza 3, blessed is the man whose strength thou art, and thy ways are hidden in his heart. He treads the highway to thy dwelling. The third stanza of 421, standing. Now close with a word of prayer. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou art the silent witness of thy word, but also of this confession in this hour. Thou knowest also, as we had sung together, and what is living in the deepest recesses of the hearts of these young people. And they have now made this confession, but we ask of thee to help them, to keep them, and to give them to search, to seek for that oil, and that may be in their vessels. O Lord, give them a secret place before thee, that there they may pour out the need of their hearts, and that thou wouldst bless them indeed with blessings out of thy heavenly store. Remember each and every one of us. Then we have in this day heard also of him in this morning hour, whose end was so awful. And in this afternoon, those whose lamps had gone out, and thou knowest the reasons wherefore. Oh, that thou may not leave it without a blessing, but give that it may be for the conversion of sinners, and that we may be warned upon our journey. Wilt thou stop us in our mad career, be with us when we leave one another. Help us each one in our place in this world, in this week. Gather with us when we gather also in thy house in the midweek services. Give a desire to come up to thy house of prayer for a day of prayer, because we cannot do without thee. And that it may be felt and experienced in the hearts of young and old together. Forgive all that was sinful and amiss, also in this very hour. Dismiss us with an undeserved blessing for Jesus' sake. Amen. 396, stanzas 3 through 6. The Lord is right in all his ways. His works, his love declare, and he is nigh to everyone, and that breathes the trustful prayer. 3, 4, 5, and 6 of Psalter 396. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.